Father, we thank you for this workers' training. Thank you for your word, ever fresh. And thank you for your people, ever faithful. We're asking, Lord, that your word will come to every heart in a fresh way tonight, in Jesus' name. And we're asking, Lord, that the blessing and benefits in the word will belong to everyone. That we embrace the word, accept the word, believe the word, and be willing to live according to the word in Jesus' name. Help us to have a mind that is committed to your word and that is committed to you as well. That your grace to live and your grace to teach and your grace to impart the word will come to every one of us in Jesus' name. Our eyes are on you, our minds are on you. Everything we have within us, they are on you, so that we can be the man, the woman, the worker, the leader we ought to be. Fulfill it in every life in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the workers and the leaders said, amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we're coming to a familiar passage, and we've read already from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. But I'm taking verses 9 and 10 to start with. Look at verse 9, Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is son of Abraham, but he wasn't saved before he met Christ. A son of Abraham, he was corrupt and sinful, a thief, a public rogue before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, a son of Abraham. It was at this time, as he met the Lord, as he came down, embraced the Lord, believed the Lord, then salvation came. And even to a son of Abraham, he couldn't be a person in the kingdom, a citizen in the kingdom, until salvation came to him. This day, is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Son of Abraham was lost, lost in sin, lost in corruption, lost in evil, and lost into the world until the Lord sought him and found him and brought him into the kingdom. Look at chapter 13, reading from verse 16. In chapter 13, verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, a daughter of Abraham, religiously, traditionally, a daughter of Abraham, and yet Satan had bound her because she didn't have the victory and the conquering power of Christ. Until a son of Abraham, until a daughter of Abraham meets the Lord Jesus Christ, repents, turned away from sin, she's under the power of Satan. She is in darkness. He is in sin. He is in corruption. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this infirmity and from this bond on the Sabbath day? Look at chapter 16 of Luke, reading from verse 25. It says, but Abraham said, son, remember, hear what they were now beyond this earth. Abraham in paradise, and this rich man on the other side in hell being tormented. And Abraham still recognized in tribe, in tradition, in religion, Abraham still recognized you are a son, but you didn't have salvation. You know, being a son to a preacher, a son to a pastor, a daughter to a preacher, a daughter to a pastor, does not make somebody a real child of God. You might be a son, you might be a daughter to a real committed believer. That does not make that person, if that person has not repented, if that person does not know Christ, if that person does not have real salvation, that does not make that person a citizen of the kingdom of God. Here in the great beyond, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things. You were rich, you were prospered, and you had all those good things in the world, and that didn't make the person a citizen of the kingdom of God. And likewise, Lazarus, I know this Lazarus now, evil things, he was poor, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And look there at verse 30, then that rich man said, send Lazarus to the world, and let him talk to other sons of Abraham. I have five brothers. Let him rise from the dead and speak to them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. He still called him father. He was in hell, but he still recognized, I'm a son of Abraham. And he said, father, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Look at verse 31. Verse 31 said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they only claim, I'm a son of Abraham, I'm a daughter to Abraham, and they depend on that alone, and they do not look at the word of God that God has sent through Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Look at John chapter 8 verse 39. John chapter 8 verse 39. Then answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Traditionally, Abraham is her father. Religiously, Abraham is her father. And country-wise, Abraham is her father. As you look at the posterity of Abraham, Abraham is our father. And they said, and Jesus said unto them, if ye were truly Abraham's children, ye would have done, ye would do the works of Abraham. Look at verse 47. In verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, sons of Abraham, daughters of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Very clear. That somebody is a son to Abraham doesn't mean is a son to God. That somebody is a daughter to Abraham doesn't mean she's a daughter to God. And that somebody can claim, Abraham is my father, the pastor is my father, the founder of the great church is my father, or the leader in that local church, district church, group church is my father. My friend, that does not interpret to mean that God is your father, and that you are born in a good church, and that you can claim a great, dynamic, effective pastor is your father, and a great, dynamic woman leader is your mother. That doesn't translate to be that you just naturally go to heaven when you die. You still have to take your own personal decision and come to the Lord, repent of sin, and be able to say, on this particular day, at this particular time, I met with the Lord Jesus Christ, I was converted, I was born again, my life was turned around, and you live the life of a real child of God. That's what gets us to heaven. It is not that, you know, Abraham is our father, pastor is my father, mommy, dynamic mommy is my mother. That doesn't take you to heaven. We have salvation only when we become become the children of God. Tonight, we're looking at the message, full and final salvation for faithful children of Abraham. Children of Abraham, then they come into faith and they have free salvation and they have full salvation and they go until the end and they have the final salvation and then they cross over to heaven. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, the conversion of transformed children of Abraham. Number two, the condemnation of traditional children of Abraham. Number three, the consecration and transferable challenge from Abraham. Let's look at number one here. Number one, the conversion of transformed children of Abraham. In Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 7. Luke chapter 19, we're reading from verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Look at verse 8. And now Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. This son of Abraham had been stingy. This son of Abraham had been self-centered. This son of Abraham had been taking care of himself with all that he had. Not only that, he said, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, Jesus did not preach that unto him. Jesus just said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And then the knowledge he had had as a son of Abraham, the knowledge he had had as an Israelite, came up immediately. And he realized he had been a sinner, son, but a sinner. He realized he had been a thief, son of Abraham, yet a thief. He realized he had not been living right. He had the knowledge in the head, meeting Christ. Now transferred that knowledge from the head to the heart. He came under conviction. Then he made confession that led to his conversion. Before somebody gets converted, just coming to church, our church, and just belonging to a, you know, a pastor, a mother also, a district leader, group leader, that doesn't mean that the fellow is a Christian. Might have the knowledge in the head, like Zacchaeus, he had the knowledge in the head. Like many religious people, they have the knowledge in the head. It is meeting Christ that brought the conviction. It is meeting Christ that brought the confession. It is meeting Christ that suddenly brought the conversion. And he said, now I remember. I remember that I have not been helping the poor. I've not been giving to those who are less privileged than I am. And then I've been taking things from people falsely. I've been oppressing them. I've been doing evil. But now, after conviction, confession, and conversion, if I'm taking anything from any man, I restore it fourfold. Look at verse 9. Then verse 9 says, and Jesus said unto him, not unto everybody that followed. If you read from verse 1, a multitude followed, and other people followed. But the one who was convicted, and the one who made confession, and the one that explains conversion, said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Salvation is an instantaneous experience. Salvation is a definite experience. Salvation is a definite turning around in the heart, and the life becomes transformed. This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then in verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save He said, these are the kinds of people I come for. The people that will allow my presence to change them, my personality to change them, my presentation to change them, my preaching to change them. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Three things here. Number one, the salvation for repentant children of Abraham. Number two, the sincerity of regenerated children of Abraham. Number three, the steadfastness of righteous children of Abraham. Look at number one, the salvation of repentant children of Abraham. Already I've read that to you, that Jesus said, this man that repented and this man that was willing to make restitution, this man that was willing to clean up his life and clean up the past so that he'll be in fellowship with Christ and eventually he'll go with Christ to heaven, this repentant child of Abraham, were told salvation came. Look at Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. The salvation we're talking about, it is of grace, that it might be by grace to the end, for the purpose that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to them which are of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham. And who is the father of all souls? Abraham got salvation by faith. And so any of the sons of Abraham, any of the daughters of Abraham, if they're to get salvation the same way, it will be by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Daddy in that family, mommy in that family, check up. My son there, check up. My daughter there, check up. They got salvation by faith. Your dad, your mom got salvation by faith. They were convicted of sin and then they went on their knees. They repented and they confessed all their sins and they made right what they should make right. The lies they had told and the things they had stolen and the life they had lived, they corrected everything, made restitution. That's how salvation came to them. If you are going to also get saved, son and daughter, if you are going to get saved, those who are born in the church, if you are going to get saved, it will be by the same faith in Christ, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, reading from verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be regretted of, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What does that mean? When, for example, our children, when they fail an exam, an important exam, and they see that they cannot move forward from secondary to university, they're sorrowful, they're sad, they lose appetite, they don't even want to eat, they're so discouraged. That's because they lost the chance of having a certificate. They must be as sorrowful. When they lose the chance of fellowship with God, they must be so thoughtful. I've not got the ticket to heaven, the certificate that opens the door for me to heaven. I've not got it. My life seals and locks the door of heaven against me. They are sorrowful, as they are sorrowful when they miss something. And then if they have a loving father, a loving mother, and the father is so sad, the father will not talk, the father is even crying, and they say, Dad, why are you crying? Mom, why are you crying? I'm crying because you are a disappointment to the family. Look at your life. Look at the way you live. Look at the company you keep. And look at the things you do. You're a shame to the family. And then that child, seeing the father sorrowful and seeing the father sad, unhappy, he becomes so sad. He regrets, I'm living a life like that because the father is sad. Now turn that around. When his son when a daughter, when anyone in the church, when you see that God is sorrowful because of you, when you see that God said, I regret that I gave this person this opportunity and this chance, because God is sorrowful and sad about your life, about your habit, about your actions, about the direction of your life, then you become as sorrowful. That's what it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. You're so sorry, you're so unhappy, and you're so dejected that your life and your action, with all the messages you are hearing and with all the gospel you have heard, brings sorrow to heaven. Because when God is sad, the angels are sad. When Jesus is sorrowful, the angels are sorrowful. And when somebody repents, that repentance brings joy to God, and it brings joy to the angels. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. When, for example, a pastor, a preacher, a real child of God, a committed person, a shining light, and somebody were looking at, and it's like a beacon of light to other people, then he sins. Then he backslides. He must be sorrowful, because heaven said, watch, of all people, so and so, I made him a pastor, so and so, I made him a woman, I made her a woman leader. Look at what she has done, look at what he has done. And when heaven is sorrowful, when God is sorrowful, he also is sorrowful. It is that godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, not to be regretted of. And then salvation comes in Titus chapter 2 verse 11. That salvation, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God, the transforming grace of God, and the true grace of God, and the transferable grace of God that will be transferred into our lives, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Look at verse 12. Teaching us, grace teaching us, grace encouraging us, grace transforming us. There are people that talk about grace, 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 and the grace is to excuse their sin. Their grace is to tolerate their sins. Their grace is to cover up their sins. Their grace is to make them more rotten than they were before the grace came. That's not the grace of the Bible. The grace of God, grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly laws, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let's look at number two there. Number two there is the sincerity of regenerated children of Abraham. Sincerity of a truly regenerated child of Abraham. In Luke chapter 19, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, what are you going to say unto the Lord? Look at your life, this day, this week, this new year. Look at the stagnancy of life this week, this month, this year. Look at the darkness and the ignorance of life this new year. Look at the continuity of the shallow life this year. What are you going to say to the Lord? Zacchaeus meeting the Lord and seeing the face of the Lord and the piercing eyes of the Lord piercing into his eyes, into his heart. He said, behold, Lord, the Lord of creation, the Lord of angels and men, the Lord that can see everything in the universe. Lord, you called my name. I never met you physically. You looked up on that tree and you saw me there, and you even knew my name. You know my character, you know my life. Lord, I bend in worship. Lord, I bend in submission. Lord, there is nothing I can hide from your lordship. Lord, behold, Lord, He called him Lord. He said, the half of my goods, you see my selfishness, you know my selfishness coming near you. Seeing you face to face has turned my life around. I'm ashamed of the past. Now, half of my goods I give to the poor. I've always seen the poor. I've always met them. I had no feeling in my heart against any poor man. It's okay for him. Lazy is poor. Unfortunate is poor. And he's not working hard is poor. It's not meeting his needs is poor. I always condemn them. But now, meeting the Lord in salvation, in conversion, changes my feeling, changes my attitude. Now, half of my goods I give to the poor. Not only that, I am rich because I take from the people more than I should take from them. A tax collector. And I collect multiples from them so I can put in my pocket the extra and pay to the Roman government what they demand. But now I see through all that. My heart condemns me. He didn't hear new preaching. It's the old preaching he had heard that came up in his heart and brought the dregs and the corruption of his heart back to him. And he said, I will do something about it. When you meet the Lord and the Lord meets you, and it's a real, genuine experience of salvation with the Lord, there is a decision in your heart that the past that I covered up, I'll dig them up. I must do something about this. This is not Peter smacking him, knocking him, whipping him. It's not anybody pointing finger at him and saying, look at your life. This is the Holy Spirit convicting the man and making the man to say, heaven is more important now than money. Therefore, everything I've taken by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. They don't have power to run after me. They don't have power to arrest me. They don't have power to take me to the police station. But I have the desire and the willingness and the power to restore what I've taken from them. Sincerity of a truly regenerated child of Abraham. And look at Acts chapter 24, reading from verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself. Present tense. I've been saved. I've come into service. I've come into being an apostle. As an apostle, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a writer of many epistles in the New Testament, as a person who had gone to the third heaven, and I'm back here, and I'm ministering herein every day, herein in every situation, herein in every transaction with other people, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God? Paul the Apostle said, after I became a Christian, you know, before I became a Christian, he was saying, I was heartless, wicked, injurious. I didn't recognize the feeling of a man, of a woman. I went into their houses. He was so hard-hearted. I took those men. I took those women. The children were crying. I didn't care. I took them and put them in prison because of the name of Jesus. The man was hard-hearted. But now, salvation softens our heart. Salvation makes us tender. And he says, now, I do always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Men who are weak, I want to maintain a clear conscience with them. Men who are troubled, and men who have suffered and who are suffering, salvation makes me tender towards them. And women who are so tender, who are so weak, widows that I didn't care about before. What did he care about widows? He just took them into the prison because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, those widows now, I feel for them. Those women now, I feel for them. He wasn't married, but if Paul were married, he would have said, there would have been a great difference between my high-handedness to my wife and in the past, that now I'm born again, I can't see her cry. I can't see her burdened. I can't see her suffering, because salvation affects somebody's heart, affects somebody's feeling, affects somebody's tenderness, and never wants to see anyone suffer. Sometimes you read in the newspapers of a father that beat the daughter to death. Salvation can't do that. Sometimes you read in the papers of a mother that poured boiling water on the daughter for whatever reason. A child of God born again cannot do that. They get so angry that they hurt, they injure, they kill even their own children. And then they run away and the police is running after them. When you are born again, your heart becomes tender. Your heart becomes so soft. You can't see others suffered by your action. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Paul the Apostle was saying, if I happen to be a worker in any church and I see church money, I cannot touch it. I cannot steal it. Salvation makes a difference. The people who steal church money and the people who pilfer from their wife, their husband, and they take what belongs to the family without the knowledge of the family, that's not being born again. When you are born again, your heart is pure, your heart is tender, and your heart is clear of sin. You will make amends. You'll say, my husband, you know, that money you were talking about, I took it. I'm sorry. Here is the money. My wife, you know, that money when you got your salary and then you put it over there, I was kind of envious, saying that you are earning more money than I do, and I'm the one that took that money you were looking for. Take the money. Look at the money. Everything becomes clear. You make your way right because of the sincerity of a truly regenerated child of Abraham. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 12. It says, for our rejoicing is this, the simplicity that is simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, word. Our conversation we've had in the world, and more abundantly to you. Look at point number three here. Point number three is the steadfastness of righteous children of Abraham. We become children of God and children of Abraham in truth, and then we become steadfast in righteousness. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have put on Christ. We don't put on Satan, who is wicked. We don't put on Satan, who is adamant. We don't put on Satan, who is self-willed. We don't put on Satan, who is habitual in unrighteousness. We don't put on Satan. You come to Christ, You are born again. You are now a bona fide child of Abraham. A sincere child of Abraham, a righteous child of Abraham. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, gentle Christ, humble Christ, meek Christ, tender Christ. And the attribute of Christ, you're not put on as you put on your clothes. It will be visible. It will be seen. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, the same salvation. There is neither bond nor free, the same salvation. There is neither male nor female, the same salvation. For ye are all one, united, uniformly, demonstrating Christ, revealing Christ, reflecting Christ. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 29, it tells us in verse 29, it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. If you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of life. The promise of a new life, the promise of eternal life, and the promise of righteous life. Your life becomes righteous as a child of Abraham, seed of Abraham, daughter of Abraham, son of Abraham. Religiously, you are connected with Abraham. Now you have met Christ and you put on Christ. Let's look at point number two. Point number two, we're talking about the condemnation of traditional children of Abraham. Traditional children of Abraham. Look at John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he the Savior, I am he the Christ, I am he the Messiah, I am he the link between us and heaven, I am he the substitute, I am he the Paschal Lamb, I am he the one that brings salvation to your Savior. If ye do not believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Who was he talking to? Look at verse 38. In verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your father. He said, God is my father, and I know you have a father too. They thought they were children of Abraham. Look at verse 39. In verse 39, they said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. You see, the people that brag and boast about religion, we are Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children, children resemble their father. You don't resemble Abraham. Your works, your action, your heart, your disposition, and your pursuit does not reflect the pursuit and the work of Abraham. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of your father, Abraham. Let's say they arrest somebody, and that somebody has a pastor talking about holiness every time he comes to church, and has a father, natural father, who is also a pastor, a preacher in our church, as a mother who is committed wholeheartedly 100% to the Lord. But this child follows the riffraffs, the corrupt people, the criminals in their community, and then they arrest him. And then they said, write a statement. Who are you? What have you done? And then he writes, I am a son through and through of deeper life. They said, change that. Don't try that. Don't write that. We know deeper life. You are not a true son of deeper life. If you were deeper life, you will act, you will live, you will behave like deeper life. You are just a criminal. You're a sinner. You've not been saved. You're not born again. The people there in the public telling, change that. Don't say, I'm a son of deeper life. I'm a daughter of deeper life. Not just what Jesus was saying. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And then he tells us in verse 44, look at how direct Christ was. Ye of your father, the devil, and the laws of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That's his property. That's his nature. And that is what he does all the time. He doesn't know anything or say anything about the truth. For he is a liar from the past until now, until the end of the world. He's a liar and the father of it. Now, these are the people that are nominal children of Abraham. They are traditional children of Abraham, and they know nothing of the truth of the word of God. Three things we're looking at. Number one, perception of fleshly children of Abraham. Fleshly, only natural. In the flesh are the children of Abraham. Number two, the presumption of faithless children of Abraham. They were presuming that because in the natural tradition they were children of Abraham, that heaven was guaranteed for them. The perdition. Number three, the perdition for fruitless children of Abraham. Let's look at number one. Number one, perception of fleshly children of Abraham. Look at this. Look at Romans chapter 9, reading from verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God has taken on effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not of all They are not all Israel which are of Israel. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham in the natural are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then in verse 8 it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. They which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. The scripture is very clear that you are related to somebody by flesh. Does not mean that you are a child of God. You know, there are some of us, we have forgotten some of these scriptures. If anybody comes to you and he says, you know, I'm a daughter to Pastor so-and-so. Ah, that's my pastor. That's my pastor. What do you need? What do you want? Check off from them. They are daughters, they are sons to Pastor so-and-so. Are they born again? Are they children of God? If they are sinners, they are worse than ordinary sinners. Ordinary sinners on the street that have not heard the gospel. Ordinary sinners in a community that have not tasted of the word of eternal life. But these ones, they were born while daddy and mommy were already born again. And they brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the word of God. And they went to the children's church, and they went to the youth church, and then they come out in life, and you see their life as if they have never seen the light of the gospel. They have never tasted the water of the gospel, and they have never eaten the meal of the gospel, and they turn out as if they are just a child of the society. And then you say, oh, child of so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so, what do you need? Don't say that. Ask them of all the benefits they have got, of all the privileges they have got in the gospel. What have they done with that gospel? If they only claim relationship in the flesh, and they do not have the evidence that the gospel they have heard has done anything in them, check up on them. They which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. It tells us in Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Romans chapter 10, we're reading from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Look at that. Israel, belonging to Abraham, descendants of Abraham, religiously and traditionally in the flesh belonging to Abraham, yet no salvation, no faith in Christ, no assurance of heaven. Paul the apostle said, my burdened heart, my heavy heart, and my desire and prayer to God is that Israel, the descendants of Abraham, might be saved. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, religious zeal. They can die for, if you talk about Abraham in any derogatory manner, they remove their clothes and they begin to fight. They get angry, they get violent because of religion, and yet not saved, not born again. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Then in verse 3, it tells us, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Israelites, the children of Abraham, connected by flesh, they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness apart from Christ. Their righteousness, what's their righteousness? I don't wear this, I don't put on that. All the things they could do by themselves, they copy their Christian, saved, sanctified mother only in dressing. But their heart is different. Their heart is not regenerated, not born again. They copy the members of the church in outward conformity. But then the heart of a real child of God, they don't have. And they go about ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the reason why the thing we need to make sure of, especially in what we call the new generation or second generation members, physical members of the church, is that we turn their eyes toward Christ and we make them understand that just being born in deeper life and just coming to deeper life and having an affinity and having a connection one way or the other with deeper life does not take anyone to heaven. And going about to establish their own righteousness, and even though they are not born again, that one does not take anyone to heaven. We turn their mind toward Christ, and then there's real repentance and change of heart, so that they can really be the children of God God help us in Jesus' name. Now, running after other people who are born again, great, wonderful. Follow up, great. Let charity begin at home. Let follow begin at home. Let preaching is stirring, fiery message that brings conviction, that drives us to confession and then makes us to have conversion. Let that start at home. Sir, how about your children? Madam, how about your children? How about the people you brought into this world biologically? Where will they spend eternity? Think about that. We come to number two here. Number two here is the presumption of faithless children of Abraham. The presumption of faithless children of Abraham. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 26. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. Paul the Apostle said, men and brethren, we have the same nation, men and brethren. I'm too an Israelite, and I am of the tribe of Benjamin, and some of you also tribe of Benjamin. Our tribe, Benjamin, will produce the first king of Israel. And so I can relate with you, men and brethren. Brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, you fear God in the natural way as descendants of Abraham, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Look at verse 38 there. In verse 38, be it known unto you, men and brethren, therefore, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Salvation, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We have that. Look at verse 39. In verse 39, and by him, Christ Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Look at verse 46. Verse 46, when they heard that message as pointed, as direct, as faithful as Paul the Apostle was, you'll think they'll be convicted. They'll confess and they'll be converted. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves and condemn yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What's the point of being religious and yet you're unworthy of eternal life? What's the point? Come in, hearing. And the word of God is preached faithfully. And through that word, Gentiles have been born again. Through that word, outsiders have been born again. Through that word, children of other people that are not members of the church, those children, through the school fellowship and through all the other means, they are born again. And they are even suffering persecution from their unbelieving parents who are not members of the church and they are standing, and then the children who are born in the church and the people who have known the church all this while, they're now out of university and they're now working, they're now professionals, and they're coming to the church and they're hearing everything that is being said, and yet they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And then we have to concentrate on the other people who are responding to the word of the Lord. I pray the Lord will touch every heart. That all those who are just there and their hearts are hardened against the gospel because they have heard it over and over and over, and they're all saying, I know, God cannot throw me to hell. I am the son of so and so. Even if I'm not saved, even if I'm misbehaving, God will look at the character of my daddy, and God will look at the character of my mommy, and will, because of them, and take me to heaven. No, it doesn't happen like that. If you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, if you die in that condition, you'll perish. Look at Acts chapter 28, reading from verse 27. For the heart of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Their eyes they have closed. You know, those who already, they know the Bible, and they know they've been, you know, hearing this word since they were born, but they are not born again. And once they see the side of scripture, I know today they are going to talk on this. I'm going there, but I'll block my ears. You do yourself a great harm. In blocking your ears, you are not injuring Paul. You are not injuring Barnabas. You are injuring yourself because you are counting yourself unworthy of heaven. And so it says, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I shall heal them. Then we're told in verse 28, but be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. I will hear. I will hear. The Lord make every one of us to hear in Jesus' name. Look at number three there. Number three, the perdition of fruitless children of Abraham. The perdition, the loss, eternal loss, and eternal punishment of the children of Abraham who do not embrace Christ like Zacchaeus, who do not turn around from their evil way like Zacchaeus, who do not have the salvation of the Lord like Zacchaeus. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. In chapter 8 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 11, here are the words of Jesus. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 12, it says, but the children of the kingdom, the children of Abraham, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ told them, but they will not hear. I pray we will hear. I will hear. I said, I will hear. And the Lord will make the word of salvation to bear fruit in us in Jesus' name. In our children in Jesus' name. Look at Luke chapter 16. We're reading from verse 22. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The rich man also died and was buried. Look at verse 23. It says, and in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham. He never prayed to God, only to Father Abraham. God said, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. He never looked unto God. Father Abraham, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name he knew, Father Abraham. And when he got to the other side, he still cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. When Christ was on earth, the blind came, even those who are blind, have mercy on me, son of David. And then the Syrophoenician woman came, even from Syrophoenician, from Greece, from the Gentiles, have mercy on me. Even the people whose lives were so dirty, they were weeping and, you know, washing up the tears from the feet of Jesus, have mercy on me. This man never knew that through Christ's compassion we can have salvation on earth. And when he even got to the other side, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip, may dip the tip of his finger in water. He didn't know any pastor. He didn't know any Christian worker. All he knew Lazarus, the beggar, at his gate, and he knew Father Abraham. Those are the only two people he knew. No pastor, no preacher, no evangelist. All the people that were doing evangelism in their community, he never opened the door for them. He never knew anyone. All he knew, Abraham and Lazarus. Didn't even know Jesus. Didn't even know God. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Can I remind you, I am that day, more than 2,000 years ago, today, that man is still there. I am tormented. 2,000 years have gone, I am tormented. 3,000 years will go, I am tormented. 10,000 years will come and go, I am tormented. If anybody gets to the other side without Christ, without salvation, without eternal life, without conviction, without confession, without conversion, if anybody gets to the other side and is suddenly claiming religion, not having regeneration for hundreds of years and thousands of years and millions of years, he'll still be crying, for I am tormented in this flame. Look at verse 25 and verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember, son, remember. Abraham knew that this was one of the sons of Abraham. He knew traditionally, nominally, this was one of the sons. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and your thought riches meant righteousness. You thought of God prosperity, of God also the certificate to get to heaven. If God did not accept me, look at Lazarus. He is religious, he is righteous, he is saved, he is sanctified, he is poor. I have all these riches. The riches prove nothing. The goodness of God should have led him to repentance, but the goodness of God did not lead him to repentance. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and Lazarus also evil things, say likewise. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Look at verse 31. It says, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, the preachers are preaching from the books of Moses, if they hear not those preachers who are preaching, and if they hear not the prophets who are preaching from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, from Ezekiel, who are preaching from all those books of the Old Testament, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let's look at point number three now. Point number three is the consecration and transferable challenge from Abraham. Abraham, that the children of Israel were referring to, did not depend on circumcision of the flesh. He depended on turning to God, having faith in God for real salvation. The consecration and transferable challenge from Abraham. Romans chapter 4 verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Then in verse 3, we're told, what says the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Salvation by faith. Salvation by what God has done. And he came and he confessed that, and was converted from idolatry, and was converted unto the sight of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the salvation of Abraham by faith. Number two, the sanctification of Abraham and his faithfulness. Number three, the submission of Abraham, his friend. Let's look at number one here. Number one, the salvation of Abraham by faith. By faith. It tells us in Romans chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 3. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, What says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look at verse 4 there. In verse 4 it says, now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Then in verse 5 it says, but to him that walketh not and believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Abraham believed on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Look at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Righteousness without works. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. In Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place in the which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He went from the known to the unknown, and he threw his life into the hands of the Almighty God. And he said, I surrender all. I surrender all to you, my Savior, Redeemer. I surrender all. He left the past and then the future. He left in the hands of God. When we come to Christ, all the assurances of the past life, all the confidences of the past life, all the pursuit of the past life, we give up and we say now to Jesus, I commend my spirit. I commend my future. I do not know the future. I do not know tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And therefore, I leave my sin, even though those sins might have been financially profitable. I leave all those sins and I commit myself to Christ. I believe he died for me. He'll take care of me for the rest of my life. By faith, Abraham did that, and that is the challenge transferred to everyone. By faith, we come to Christ and live the rest of our lives in the hand of Christ. Look at number two. Number two is the sanctification of Abraham and his faithfulness. The sanctification of Abraham and his faithfulness in Genesis chapter 17, reading from verse 1. It says, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it tells us in verse 10, it says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now, the children of Israel depended on that physical circumcision. But you understand, the same Moses that gave the record of the physical circumcision pointed to the circumcision of the heart. The mind of God, the purpose of God is not that it should be the end, the physical circumcision. The goal and the end and the purpose of that physical circumcision was to be the circumcision of the heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. The propensity to evil needs to be cut off. That hardness of heart needs to be cut off. The depravity needs to be taken off. The self-centeredness needs to be taken off. And the holding on to everything away from God needs to be taken off. And the innate nature that came with every man into this world that makes us have the heart of stone, a stony heart, a stubborn heart, a hardened heart, a depraved heart, and the human heart that's always dragging issues with God, all that needs to be taken off. And so the Lord said, the Lord thy God, because you're already saved, thy God, because you already belong to him, thy God, will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. All those people referring to Abraham, our father. Abraham is our father. Abraham is the one progenitor that brought us here. They didn't understand. God wanted Abraham, and God wanted all the descendants of Abraham and his seed to have circumcision of heart, so that they love God, the Lord thy God, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. To live in Canaan, that thou mightest live. To live in the promised land, that thou mightest live. To live in heaven forever with God. He'll circumcise the heart. He'll take away their damning nature, that thou mightest live. That's what he wanted, and Abraham was faithful, and that's transferable. He wants all of us to so faithfully go to the Lord, have our hearts circumcised, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In the New Testament language, it will sanctify us. It will purify us. It will take away the stony heart, and he'll give us the heart of flesh. We'll become tender. We'll become loving. We'll become soft. We'll become submissive. We'll become totally yielded unto the Lord Almighty. Look at number three here. Number three is the submission of Abraham, his friend. Eventually, Abraham was given a special title, the friend of God. The friend of God. We're told in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Abraham, my friend. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Abraham was always in agreement with the Almighty God. And when God said something Abraham couldn't understand, he knows better. He is the greater partner in this partnership. He is the heavenly Lord in this friendship. I can't understand that. How would you understand? Genesis chapter 22, we're reading from verse 1. He couldn't understand, and you can't understand. But then he had submission because he's a friend of God. Genesis 22 verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. I'm always here for your command. I'm here for your commission. I am here. I'm for your compelling utterance, precept. I'm here. Here I am. Verse 2. And in verse 2 we're told, and he said, take now. The commandment I'm giving you, Abraham, is not for tomorrow. It's not for next week. It's not for next year. I don't want you to think this over. You will not understand. This will appear to contradict every promise I've given to you. But now, take now thy son, thine only son. Ishmael is gone. I'm not referring to him. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You love him with the greatest love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto me upon one of those mountains which I will tell thee of. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his horse, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. And he did what the Lord wanted him to do. You know the story. As was about to lay the knife on the son, God said, Abraham, hold it. I only tested you. But I didn't say, Abraham, testing, testing, testing. But I tested you, and you passed the test. When you surrender your life to Christ, when you give your present and your future to Christ, whatever commands he has for you, you understand or you don't understand? You comprehend or you don't comprehend? You can explain or you cannot explain. You can share with others, you cannot share with others. Once he commands and he says, this is the way to go. How will that happen? How will that contradict those other things? I understand, I don't understand. Like Abraham, the challenge and the commitment and the consecration that is transferable. We obey, just obey. Just obey. If the message, God's message, when his message comes to you, there is but one thing to do, just obey. If you're in the Savior's hand, you must do as he commands. Never reason and never ask why. When his message comes to you, there is but one thing, just obey. If you're on your way to heaven and you're to get to that land, there is just one thing for you to do. Whatever he commands, whatever he commits in time, wherever he calls you, there is one thing to do, just obey. And then we're told in verse 16, it says, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. In verse 17, it says that in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee. Thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And then he tells us in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That was the life of Abraham. And now the challenge is, that's transferred to us today. If we're children of Abraham, if we're not just claiming it by word of mouth, I'm a child of Abraham, a son, a daughter of Abraham. If we have the faith, the faithfulness, the yieldedness, the focus of Abraham, and we have the circumcision of heart, and we say, all I am, all I have, all that belongs to me, I lay everything at the feet of Christ, then God will say, this blessing will come because thou hast obeyed my voice. I pray that the grace to be obedient to the Lord will grant unto us in Jesus' name. What marks out is Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham, a child of Abraham, falling at the feet of Christ and saying, all my past, I confess, all my past that needs to be corrected, I correct. And any restitution, restoration I need to make by your grace and by your strength, I want to be a man, a woman, void of offense toward God and toward man. All that I make restitution of, and I clear my way before the Lord. And then whatever the Lord will demand from all my heart, totality of my heart, yieldedness of my heart, not thinking of him, thinking of her, thinking of them, thinking of what they will think or what they will say or what they'll make of me, I will give priority to obedience to the Lord. No rival for the Lord in my heart, and I'm going to keep on obeying him all the way through. That's what makes a faithful and a forthright child of Abraham. And when we leave this place, we'll be with him in glory. Any amen coming from there? Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's take everything we've learned to the Lord in prayer, that God will make us real, faithful, fruitful, purposeful children of Abraham.